This message is brought to you by the friends and partners of Kakrabaden. Welcome to Air Power with Kakrabaden, teaching the nations with signs and wonders. Why live in darkness when the light of God's word has solutions? Kakra is a teacher of the word who also ministers with miracles and the prophetic anointing. He's the senior pastor of the Catch the Anointing Center, Accra, Ghana. Now, today's message.
Welcome to today's broadcast. Kakra begins an empowering and uplifting message for the tough times we're in, and it's titled, How to Respond to Economic Crisis. Today, he shares the first key, revelation. Let's join in.
Today, I want to share on a subject I've titled, How to Respond to Economic Crisis. How to Respond to Economic Crisis. Why? The reason why I want to share briefly on this is that I noticed that throughout the world, prices are going up because of high inflation. And over the past month, I was in the US, and I was in London, and I was in Amsterdam. Now, what I noticed in all these places is that prices seem to be rising. I remember I took a taxi in London, short ride from here to here, £20. I was surprised. And for the first time, as I was in London, I was spending my pounds. It was as if I was spending cedis. It was moving very fast. And I said, hey, since when did the pound start moving fast like this? Because everything seemed to be high. So there seems to be this crisis all around. Now, this crisis, I guess, it started with the pandemic. And then when the pandemic was easing, now it has moved to something else. It has moved to a war. So throughout the world, there's inflation, which means prices are rising. In the UK, for example, they've had their highest inflation in so many, 40 years or so, so many years. The highest inflation in about 40 years. Not seen anything like that before. So the question is, as Christians, how do we respond to an economic crisis? Now, what I want you to understand is that anything that has happened in this world, it has happened before. In Exodus chapter 1, verse 9, the Bible says, that which has been is that which shall be. That which has been done is that which shall be done. There is no new thing under the sun. In other words, the events that happen, the things that have been, is just cyclical. It will happen again. It happens, then there's about some years, and then it happens again. The pandemic that we experienced, that's happened before. Many years ago, it happened. And after some years, it came back. So you see, that which has been is that which shall be. So there will always be a period of high inflation and economic pressures. Then it says, apart from the event happening or being, the response also remains basically the same. That which has been done is that which shall be done. In other words, the response to events, whether bad or good, the response also seems to repeat itself. So at the end of the day, if you want to understand sometimes what is going to happen, the Bible is saying, all you need to do is look at history. History is a prophet. It tells you what is going to happen. Only if you know history, then you can tell. But those who don't learn history, they are doomed to repeat the mistakes of the past. That's what makes history important. So it has happened before. But there are responses in the Bible, not worldly responses, but Christian and biblical or spiritual responses to economic crisis. And crisis means a difficult time. A difficult time. So when I say economic crisis, I mean economically things are difficult. So here in Ghana, we're having the same experience. Prices are going up. Bread is getting lighter. Kenke is having more leaves than the corn itself because of this crisis. In Romans chapter 15, verse 4, the Bible says, whatsoever things were written aforetime, that is before our time, were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the scriptures, might have hope. So here the Bible tells us that the things that have been written in the Bible, even historical things, it said they have been written for our learning. In other words, we are supposed to study what happened. What did people do? How did they come around? How did they overcome it? What was the solution? Then it says, if we study it, one thing that it will do is that it will comfort you. It will comfort you because you will know that it has happened before. It's normal. Sometimes something happens and it's like, because you are new, you feel you are the only person that thing has happened to. No, it's happened to a lot of people before. But when you know it, what happens is that it comforts you because you get to know that it's normal. It happens. So the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12, it says, brethren, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing has happened to you. So, for example, you are 18 years old or 21 years old and you have a boyfriend and your boyfriend sends a WhatsApp. He said, it's over. Your whole world collapses. Listen, boyfriends have been living from long. It's not today. From long. So don't tell yourself you are going to drink something and kill yourself. It has happened. It happens all the time. That's why I say, don't think it is strange. It happens. So when you don't know that something happens, it makes you mentally unprepared for it. And then also it demoralizes you. But here the Bible says that God says we should learn the things that have happened so that we, through patience and comfort of the scriptures, might have hope. So this thing has happened before. One thing that it does is that it gives you hope. Because when you read the scriptures, you see some people survived. Some people even thrived. Then he said, oh, it means I can also make it. I can do it. And one thing that hope does is that it releases your energy and your strength. When you don't have hope, your strength goes down. That's why when they are playing a soccer match and it's 3-0, the team that is losing 3-0, their energy is down. But if they score one goal, the energy goes up. They score another one, 3-2, now it becomes very dangerous. Now they have more energy than you because hope is creating more energy. That's what happens. So it kind of, you know, releases your energy when you know that it has happened before. And when you read other people's story, it encourages you, number one. And number two, it teaches you what you should also do. So Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, it says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Author means the one who began. Finisher means the one who will finish. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is now set at the right hand of God. In other words, when you have lost hope, he said, even look at Jesus as an example. He said, it will spare you on to keep on running. When you are running the race and you are tired and you want to give up, or when you are in something, maybe it's a business, maybe it's something you are doing, maybe it's a project, and you are tired and you want to give up. Do you know what it means? It means you are getting to the end. Because every time you are getting to the end, you feel tired. Could be an exam, but you just put in a little bit more energy and then you'll finish. Is there anybody here who is feeling tired this morning? You are getting to the end. So keep on running. That's what that means. You're just getting to the end. Almost there. You are almost there. So keep on running. So today, I want us to examine three periods of economic crisis in the Bible. Two were worldwide. One was localized. And I want us to read the story. Because the Bible says, whatever things were written aforetime, they were written for our learning. So, the first period, I want to talk about the time of Isaac. That's not the time of Isaac. That's the first story. Now, in the first story, if you read the story, you realize that the focus is more on the spiritual. Now, let's look at the first one. This is the time of Isaac. Genesis chapter 26, verse 1. Let's read the scripture. There was a famine in that land. Besides the first famine, that was the days of Abraham. Isaac went to Abimelech, the king of the Philistines, unto Gerar. So here the Bible says there was a famine. Hunger, there was economic crisis. And the Bible says that this was not the first time. Even in the days of Abraham, it said the same thing happened. And what happened to Abraham happened to Isaac, and it also happened to you because you are in this world and you are alive. So when the economic crisis hit, Isaac's first response was, I would say, a natural response. He decided to travel to a place called Gerar because he felt that where he was, probably there was no money. So he wants to move out of the country and go somewhere else and see if he can make some money. That was his mind. So whilst he was thinking about this, which any normal person can think about, but remember that we are talking about Christians, not a normal person. The Bible says in verse 3, the Lord appeared unto him and said, go not down into Egypt, dwell in the land which I shall tell thee of. So the first thing we need in economic crisis is we need supernatural guidance. That's only supernatural guidance. Christianity is a supernatural thing. It's not a natural thing. That's what makes a Christian an unusual person. Unbelievers don't understand the supernatural. They don't use the supernatural. They don't rely on the supernatural. They rely on their strength. But if you rely on your strength, then you and an unbeliever, you are at the same level. Sometimes Christians don't move into the supernatural because they don't even believe that it works. They even have no faith that it works. So they don't even believe in it. For example, how many of us have been praying, Lord, grant me divine guidance as to how to move in these times? Few. Most people's response, they will take a calculator and begin to punch numbers. But any unbeliever can take a calculator and punch numbers. That's normal. That's a normal human response. But a Christian, it's a supernatural thing. Why? Because if you read the Bible, the people that God used, they overcame the economic crisis by supernatural guidance and the leading of the Holy Spirit. Not just thinking. If you just think normally, then you are a carnal Christian or almost like an unbeliever. That's why you need the supernatural. So I want to encourage you. Ask the Lord, me, what should I do? Do you understand what I'm trying to say? It's a very important question you should be asking. But I know that few ask this question. So the Lord appeared to him and said, go not down into Egypt. Dwell in the land which I shall tell thee of. And surprisingly, his decision to travel was reversed. God told him, don't go anywhere. Where you are, where is the famine? Where the famine is that you want to live, stay in that same place. Don't go anywhere. Just stay in the place and work in that place. That was God's direction to him.
Thank you for tuning in. Today we learned that we must understand that economic crises are normal according to scriptures, and one key we need at such times is revelation. Join us same time tomorrow for the continuation of this message.
If you are here today, you don't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, and you want to give your life to Jesus, pray this prayer after me. Say, Lord Jesus, today I repent of my sins. Please forgive me. Come and live in my heart. I believe that you died for me. Be the Lord and Master of my life. Thank you, Jesus, for coming into my life. Amen.
Before we leave, here is a praise report to boost your faith in the Lord.
This one says that, dear pastor, I ask you to pray for me concerning my job, that I will be retained in my job since they were laying people off. You pray for me and ask God to be gracious to me and for me to find favor. Thanks be to God, I have been retained at my workplace, and I want to thank the Lord. Put your hands together for Jesus. Let's thank him.
Thanks for your time. You can contact us, seek counseling, ask for prayer, order today's full-length message, or order books through the following means. Call us or message us on WhatsApp to +233 55 790 10. Send an email to info@cacrobaden.org. You can also make a regular call or send a text to +233 20 75 75 215. Our office hours are 10 a.m. to 1600 hours GMT.